If you open your notebook and take out your outline, if that's the way you do it, let's get all the popping over with quickly. We're on message 3 of the morning session 1, which is learning to live in union with Christ. Can we say that all together? Learning to live in union with Christ. Do you remember the first message? That was a message about peace, right? Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart. And then yesterday morning was, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And this morning we come to, let's read together, learning to set our mind on the things which are above. Again. Learning to set our mind on the things which are above. Well, in learning to live in union with Christ, a big thing we have to take care of is our mind. I was thinking, you know, last night we saw a little bit. We have the first place, and we have the first love. And then I was thinking, like, you come to this morning, it's like, what's your first thought? And so we have to learn to set our mind on the things which are above. And just one thing kind of came up recently with, I heard from some young brothers. So please don't take anything in the way of condemning, but this is just for our learning, right? Our learning to live in union with Christ. And there were some brothers coming in from out of town, and they were going to be in Atlanta for a weekend. And as soon as they landed at the airport, I think they got in about 10:30 at night, and these brothers had a plan for them, and I think by 11 or 11:30 they were doing something, okay? And what they had thought about and what they planned for them was just a physical activity. You know, it wasn't anything bad, but they went out to play, I think, Ultimate Frisbee or something like that. So right away, you know, when the brothers were coming, they had a thought. Right? But what was their first thought? What's the first thing we want to do? Okay? That just shows where your mind is, right? Where is your mind? What are you thinking about? And we were kind of exposed because I think that morning or something, the full-timers were fellowshipping, and we knew these brothers were coming, and what should we do on Saturday with these ones? And pretty much we didn't have any feeling to do anything. You know? So I was just considering that as like, wow, it's like, you know, our college-age brothers, you know, their thought was, let's get out on the field and let's throw the frisbee. And the full-timer's thought was, let's not do anything. But I was just thinking, it's like, what's the Lord's thought, you know? If we were living in union with Christ, what would be our first thought when the brothers come to visit us? You know, it's like if our mind was set somewhere else, we would think different things, right? We may not think Ultimate Frisbee first, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with that, or that you wouldn't do that during the weekend, or even you wouldn't do that the first thing. You might do that the first thing, but I just wonder, was there any thought about things above, you know, in our students, in our full-timers, and anybody who heard that these brothers were coming is like, who thought about something above, you know? So anyway, we have a lot to learn, right? Learning to set our mind on the things which are above. Okay, so let's read number 1. Since we died and were raised together with Christ, we are in ascension with Christ in God. So if you're going to seek the things above, right, if you're going to set your mind on the things above, actually, first of all, you have to see that actually we are above. This is the facts. We have been raised up with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So this is our position. And you see this from Colossians, these verses 1 through 4. So how about we open our Bibles and read these verses together. I really enjoy these verses. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And I want to share a little footnote with you too. Okay, you have your Bibles. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, if therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God.
Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with Him in glory. So the verses start out in verse 1 with something conditional, right? If you were raised together with Christ. So first of all, we have to see this is our position. If we were raised together with Christ, we should seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And then 2 follows up, right? So verse 1, you have seek the things which are above. And then it says, set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. And even here, it's kind of very instructive that Paul doesn't say, set your mind on the things in heaven, which you might think, you know, if you were contrasting earth, you would think heaven, right? But here, Paul doesn't, in either of these verses, neither of these verses does he use heaven, but he just uses the word above, and where Christ is. And perhaps the reason he does this is heaven would just be too geographical. You know, earth is a geographical place. Heaven is a geographical place. Just set your mind on a place. But actually, the whole point here is, like we enjoyed in our morning revival, it's all about a person. So what is above? It's really this person. This person that is greater than the universe, right? The whole universe is existing within this person. What is above? What's very above? Well, that's just Christ Himself. So this is something very high and very superior to the low and inferior things that are on the earth. Okay? Amen. So that's Roman numeral 1. Since we died and were raised together with Christ, we are in ascension with Christ in God. Okay, how about the sisters on A? Okay, to be in ascension means that our life has been hidden with Christ in God. Even though the word means is there, you probably still don't know what that means, right? To be in ascension means that our life has been hidden with Christ in God. But that phrase, hidden with Christ in God, that is so mysterious. And so just consider that. Hold that thought. Okay, brothers on 1. Isn't that striking? If we continually set our minds on the things that are on the earth, even our ascended position will do us no good. And so in preparing this, I was considering, you know, Peter's experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? There he saw something, a wonderful revelation of who Christ was. But then immediately, you know, Christ revealed something to Peter about his death. And then if you look in Matthew, you can just write this down, Matthew 16:23. Peter had an earthly thought because the Lord was revealing his death. And then Peter said, Peter rebuked the Lord, says, God be merciful to you, Lord. This, your crucifixion, shall by no means happen to you. And then the Lord turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. And then this is the real phrase. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Okay, so what was Peter's problem? It was where he was setting his mind. And that's why he had his reaction. You know, the Lord was saying, I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, you can't die. Where did that reaction come from? Huh? Yeah, it was just a natural thought. It was something of the things of men. Preserve yourself. Don't die. Preserve yourself. You know, we want to preserve you. You should preserve yourself. That's a thought of man. And then in Luke, I think it says earth, right? You're setting your mind on the things of earth. But, oh, Lord, our mind. where we set our mind.
We can have such a high position, but if we set our mind on low things, you will have a low existence. You will have a low experience.
Really, as you think, you are. And so also I was thinking of these verses in Matthew 5.
You know, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, you had a lot of outward regulations. And in Matthew 5, you know, the Lord says that he came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. But then you see there's been a real change, though, because in the outward law, mainly it was focused on your behavior. If you didn't have wrong behaviors, you know, basically you were okay. You were righteous with God. Although there was something deeper than that, because God did care where your heart was, and he had a real problem with Israel because their heart was somewhere else, even though they had a kind of outward righteousness. Even in the Old Testament, God wanted something more. But in the New Testament, in fulfilling the law, you know, the Lord, he comes to this point about if you think in your heart, right? He says in the Old Testament, it says 5:21, you have heard it was said to the ancients, you shall not murder. But I say to you, everyone who is angry. So you see the bar was raised from just your outward behavior to your inward condition, right? In the old, it was okay. If you didn't murder, you were okay. But in the New Testament, you can't be angry. And then how about this one, brothers? Whoever says to his brothers, raka, or more, you know those words? It's like fool and stupid one. Y'all ever say that? I know you do. Because I did. Especially on the highway, right? Just words come out, right? Where do those words come from? You know, there's something in your heart, something where your mind is set that you know. And then later, right, there's another good one there too. In the Old Testament, it was said, where's the next one? 27 and 29. Yeah. In the Old, it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone that looks at a woman in order to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So the Lord cares about our heart and where our thoughts are. So it's not enough just not to do the acts. It's like, where's your mind? What are you thinking? And so, two, if we believe in Christ's ascension and continually set our minds on the things above rather than the things on earth, we will not only be in the heavens objectively, but we will also be in the heavens subjectively. That's in our experience. So this is a wonderful truth, you know, that the things above will affect our experience. But it all depends on whether or not our minds are set on those things, whether those things are occupying us and filling us. Okay? B, because we have died, resurrected, and ascended with Christ, we ought to seek the things which are above and daily set our mind on the things which are above. I appreciated what, you know, Brother Mark shared with us about the Word. You know, when he opened up this hypothetical thing about the Word, you know, it's not hypothetical, but the way he set it up was, if there was such a book, what would your reaction be? You know, if there was such a device, wouldn't you buy it? You know, you would want to have it, you know, you would want to enjoy it. So it's like, if you think about it, if you can have such thoughts, you know, think about what you normally think about and then think about the option that you could think about things above, which is Christ, you know, the ascended Christ, the one who's Lord of all, head over all things to the church, the high priest, full of glory and majesty. I mean, these are all very high and superior things. If you could think about them, wouldn't it be a good idea to think about them and consider them and to be occupied with them? So, you know, that's what this verse says, you know, because we ought. Because it is real. It does exist. You know, there is such a being above Christ. And we can not only be one with him objectively, but even moment by moment, subjectively, in our experience, we can be one with him. And this is living a life that's in union with Christ.
Okay? So then Paul, you know, he brings up the here about the mind. Let's look at those verses in Ephesians. You know, the first of Ephesians is we're just dead in our offenses and sins. But God, in verse 4, He's rich in mercy. He loved us. 5, He says, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together with Him and seated us together with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Do you get the impression that Paul was just in love with this one? He was enamored with this Christ, occupied with this Christ. And the truth is, we've been made alive together with Him. And we were raised up together with Him, and we were seated together with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 6, it's very similar. Romans 6, 4 through 5. We have been buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into His death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might, what? Walk in newness of life. Hallelujah, we can walk in newness of life. For if we have grown together with Him in the likeness of His death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And also flip to Philippians 3. There's another set of verses here about setting your mind. 3:14. Paul says, I'm pursued toward the goal for the prize to which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. And then in 15, he talks about the mind. Let us therefore, as many as are full grown, have this mind. We should have this mind, right? We have a heavenly calling. We've been called upward. We should have a mind set on that calling, set on those things above. But if in anything you are otherwise minded, this also God will reveal to you. So, you know, in our morning time, a lot of times in my experience, what the Lord is shining on is just my mind. You know, being otherwise minded. All the thoughts I have besides the things above. And then in verse 20, eventually Paul says, our commonwealth or our citizenship is in the heavens, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our kingdom, the place where we're living, our interest, our commonwealth is in the heavens, right? From which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in C, we should no longer be concerned for the things on the earth, but turning our attention to the things in heaven. God in the heavens should be the sphere of our living. So this is really the main point of setting your mind on the things above, is where you have your living. You know, if our mind is in the gutter, then we have a living that's just in the gutter. So we enjoy a lot of things about Christ. You know, we enjoy Him as our food. We enjoy Him as bread. We enjoy Him as water. But a lot of times, it just seems like those things are kind of adjunct to our life. Probably it's because we're not really eating and drinking. If we were really eating and drinking, then it would be different. But, you know, we have a concept, you know, maybe in our morning revival, we eat a little bit, we snack a little bit. But during the day, those really aren't the things we live by. You know, the Lord said, if you eat me, you will live because of me. You will live by me. But if you really examine our living, you know, when we exit the morning time or we exit the meetings, what do we live by? What's our food supply? What's our source? What's our expression? What's being lived out of us is unfortunately usually something else. And that's why we have two kinds of living. It shouldn't be that way at all. If we're really eating and drinking the Lord, then the rest of the day, that would be what you lived out. That's the promise of John 6, right? If you eat me, you will live because of me. So if we're not living because of Him, we have to realize the problem's not on His side. There's problems not with the promise. The problem's with the input. You know, just like in programming, right? They say, garbage in, garbage out, right? So it's like, if garbage is coming out, probably garbage is coming in. And if Christ is not coming out, probably not that much of Christ is coming in. So we have these wonderful objective things that we have Christ, we're raised with Him, we're seated with Him, but whether or not they're true in our experience depends a lot on our mind. Okay, so one, we need to forget the earthly things, the world, culture, religion, philosophy, and the natural human virtues, and lift up our eyes to the heavens. And this verse here is very touching in Luke 13. This is the bent double woman. And do you know why she was bent double? Luke 13:11. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. How old? Are any 18-year-olds here? We have some 18-year-olds. Okay. You're the same as this woman. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bent double and could not stand erect at all. So if you consider a woman in this condition, what can she see, right? Andrew, you want to stand up here and try to bend double? Can you bend double? Is that double or half? Huh? That's one, right? Okay, what can you see? The ground. Can you see what's on the ceiling? You know, there's some nice beams up there. Can you see them? Okay. So she was bent double. All she could see was the earth. Okay, read the note there, 11:2. Bending together. This signifies a person being oppressed by a demon to an extreme, so that the person is bent toward the satanic world only and is unable to stand erect to look into the heavens. So really, it's a work of the demons to cause us just to see the earthly things. So sometimes, even in our morning revival, we need to cast out demons. You know, those demons are oppressing us. We have the authority to cast them out. So we should never feel like our destiny is just to look at the ground. That's not true. Yesterday I may have been looking at the ground, but that was just the work of usurping Satan and his demons to cause me to be unable to look up into the heavens. And so, Lord, in your name, I cast out that demon. Today I don't have to look at the earth. I can look up and look into the heavens. This is the work of the man Savior, right? He came to cast out these demons. And in Mark 1:23, there's a good note about the slave Savior and his work. Mark 1:23, note 1 there. It says, this is about halfway through the note, the demon's possession of people signifies Satan's usurpation of man, whom God created for his purpose. We were created for God's purpose. But what did Satan do? He usurped us. So the third thing, the slave Savior who came to destroy the works of Satan did as a part of his service to God was to cast out these demons. This is the work of his service. He cast out these demons from the possessed people that they might be delivered from Satan's bondage, out of Satan's authority of darkness, into God's kingdom. So in Mark, there's five cases. Our slave Savior has this power. So none of us should be under the oppression of Satan where we can only see the things of the earth. Rather, we should be able to look up, stand erect, look up into the heavens, and see our Christ who's seated there. Okay? Two, whenever we are in the flesh, we are dead in our offenses and sins, living an earthly life. And I believe that's in Ephesians, right? It says that some are walking according to the manner of man. And so, you know, I really appreciate this training because it affects the way we live. That's really the purpose of training, is to affect the way we live. And, you know, this week we're here on the campus, and
I heard even some of us, we realize we look different than everybody else in the cafeteria. Right? We're just here for a different purpose. And we're in a different training. You know, some are training for doing all kinds of things, but we're in a different kind of training. And so we look different. But I wonder, next week, will we look the same? Then the training failed. You know? But if we've really been trained, and what we're learning to do is to live a life in union with Christ, and we're learning to set our mind on the things above, then this will affect the way we live. And the way we live is a lot of things, right? That's how you dress, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, what you think about, what you buy, when you go to sleep. Oh, that's a good one. When you go to sleep, oh Lord Jesus, and when you wake up, and even what you eat, you know, all these things are things of our living. And we need to learn to live a life in union with Christ by setting our mind on the things which are above. So it's very practical. And it's really true, you know, as the age gets darker, even if we don't have that much light, our light gets brighter. And we should become more and more different. So you should consider that. You know, at your school, are you becoming different or are you becoming the same? You know, the whole point of school nowadays is to socialize you. It used to be to educate people, but nowadays it's to socialize you. What is that? It basically, it's to turn you into a consumer of what they want to sell you. And so you know, it used to be hard to get credit cards, and maybe it's getting harder now, but it's probably still not that hard, because they want you to buy stuff, and they want to buy this. They want you to buy the stuff they're advertising and the stuff they're selling. So to do that, they have to work on your mind. But you know, Christ is also working on our mind if we allow Him. Oh Lord, 3. Whenever we are in the Spirit, what happens? We are raised up.
Amen.
If you've been raised up today, well, if we're in our spirit, we are raised up. And we have what sense? We have a sense that we are in God and we are living in God. And I appreciated John's experience there. He was carried away. You know, in spirit, he was carried away. 4. Only when we hold the head by abiding in the Spirit do we have the experience of being dead to the elements of the world and being raised to live with Christ in God. Only when we hold the head. So in Colossians, right, you do have this phrase in chapter 2 about holding the head. So I just appreciated, you know, we have this word being rooted in Christ. And this morning, we had this word anchored. Okay? And your anchoring should be around the head. You know, I don't know if you can conceive of these roots. Just, I think it's happened before. You know, there's objects in the ground. The roots grow all around them. It's hard to separate the two things because those roots are holding to that object, you know. So the way we hold to the head is not, in a sense, with your hands, you know, like you hold your Bible. I could probably take it away from you. But if it was roots, if you were holding the head by roots, that might be impossible. To take it away, to separate it, because it's just been encased. You know, you've grown around it, you're holding it, you're drawing all your source and substance from that source. It's inseparable, you know? So I'd hope you have this organic view of holding the head. We're not holding him just by our hands or in our sight, you know. If I could turn away, then I'm not beholding him anymore. But if I'm rooted, my roots are growing all around him. You can't take him away from me. I'm rooted in him, right? I'm holding the head by being rooted in him. Okay, so what are the things above? We've been talking about the things above. This is really, I hope you would get these 4 points. The things that are above are the ascended Christ and all things pertaining to him, including, let's read together, the glorified and enthroned Jesus. Again, the glorified and enthroned Jesus.
What does Hebrews 2:9 say? I love it. It says, but we see. Isn't that good? But we see. What do you see?
Jesus.
We see Jesus. We see a glorified and enthroned Jesus. In Acts 2:36, you know, Peter declares, this one is Lord and Christ. Ricky probably remembers this little song to the note there, right? This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He was made Lord to possess all. He was made Christ, God's anointed, to carry out His... What? You don't remember it? Okay, we'll look it up. Acts 2:36. Yeah, I got most of it. See, that's what a song will do to you. I don't even remember when I learned that, but Acts 2:36. Yes, the last phrase, Lord. The Lord was made Lord, the Lord of all, to possess all. He was made Christ, God's anointed, to carry out God's commission. He was made to see. Listen. Anyway, He was made the Lord, and He was made Christ. He possesses all, and He's carrying out God's commission. That's the Christ, the glorified and enthroned Jesus. Okay, what else? He's our heavenly high priest. Do you see the high priest? We have a heavenly high priest. Set your mind on Him. Of course, this is also from Hebrews. And there's a lovely phrase in the book of Hebrews, and I hope the brothers sometime will get to it. It says, the way of the Holy of Holies. I would love to hear some exposition on the way of the Holy of Holies. It wasn't opened in the past. But now in the New Testament, in the heavens, there's a way of the Holy of Holies. Anyway, this is something above, and our high priest is definitely there. And in verse 16, there's even a throne of grace. There's a throne of grace above. Set your mind on that throne. See, He's the head over all things to the church. And the phrase there I love is, far above all. He's head over all things to the church. Indeed, He's the one executing the divine government. And in Revelation, there's the word to John, come up here. I love that. Come up here. These things are above. Come up here. Come up here where my divine government is. And I love that from Isaiah. I didn't remember the reference, but being all three branches of government. Isn't that so awesome? Our Christ is such a one, right? The divine government is above. So these are things we should set our mind on and things that should occupy us. And really the application in this message is on point three. And eventually it issues in prayer. So let's read three together. To seek the things which are above and to set our mind on them is to join ourselves to the Lord in His heavenly ministry and in His divine enterprise by, I love that when it ends on by what? Living Christ and having a living that is one with Christ living. B, by cooperating to intercede with Him as the heavenly high priest who lives always to intercede for the churches. And on that one, I'd just like to add, you know, Christ is the high priest. You know, in Revelation, He's seen in the midst of the seven churches. And so His job, His occupation, the things He cares about are the churches. And so you see Him there in Revelation caring for the seven churches. So this should be our experience as well. As we consider the things above, it's not just we walk around with this faraway look in our eyes like we're distracted or we're somewhere else, you know. But as we consider these things, we join ourselves to Christ. And actually, we basically end up doing the same thing that He does. Which, what is He doing? What is He doing? He's caring for the churches. And He's interceding for the churches. And we join in with Him to intercede. And so, you know, the churches are like Christ's embassies.
on the earth. We saw his government, you know, his throne is in the heavens, but the representative of that throne, of that kingdom, is in the local churches. And a good illustration, one brother shared this illustration, is like the electric meter, you know, at your house is not the source of the electricity, but as you see that wheel spinning, I don't know if you've ever been outside your house. Nowadays, some of them are becoming digital, but some of them still have this old wheel that spins like that. And that's really the activity of the churches. There's something going on the earth as the electricity is flowing, as the transmission, right, from above is being received. That wheel is spinning, you know? And so that should be us. It's like, how much spinning is there with us? You know, it depends on how much of the transmission we're receiving from the power plant. So the heavenly high priest is there, ready to dispense, right? Ready to transmit, but he needs some to receive and some to join in with him in this intercession. And as we join in to pray, right, for the churches, we'll experience that wonderful transmission. And there it gives a, it says to compare or to look at Genesis 18, 17, which that was, you know, that was a heavenly intercession of Abraham, where, you know, he was having this conversation with the Lord, and God eventually said, can I hide this from Abraham, what I'm going to do? And the answer was, no, I can't. So he spoke some things to Abraham, and then Abraham, it's a real good example of morning revival, right? There was just interaction, right? Abraham said something, God said something, Abraham said something, God said something. It was very mutual. And but anyway, that was a wonderful intercession. And that intercession was very much for the bringing forth of Christ on the earth. Because who was he praying for? He was praying for Lot. And, you know, Abraham's thought might have just been, Lot is my nephew. So I care about my nephew, so save my nephew. But what was God's interest? God's interest was Christ. And if you read the genealogy in Matthew, Lot was a necessary ingredient. He was a necessary forefather. No Lot, no Christ. So Abraham is there praying for Lot. What? So Christ could be brought forth. So it's the same with us. You know, in your classes, some parts of the body of Christ are perhaps in your class. They're not parts yet, but God needs them as parts. You know, God has chosen them from the foundation of the world to be part of the body of Christ, to be part of bringing forth Christ in the flesh. But they're not yet. So what does he need us to do? He needs us to join with him. So we're not just praying for our friends. Actually, we're praying for Christ. Right? We're praying for them to enter in to the genealogy of Christ, to be brought in to the bringing forth of Christ on the earth as part of the church. Okay? So see, then also it's with the saints, right? Joining with Christ today, who's living as the heavenly minister to minister and supply the saints with the riches of Christ. Back to my initial example, this is really what should be concerning us. It's like, Lord, these brothers are coming. How can we supply them with the riches of Christ? D, praying the prayers of authority and ascension so that Christ, as the universal administrator of God's government, can administrate all things for the accomplishment of God's purpose. And so there, you know, recently we've had some ministry on that, but even here the verses are speaking to the mountain. We really need to have an uplifting of our prayer. Not just we're asking the Lord to do things, but we're speaking to those things to get them out of the way. Things that are bothering us, you know, eventually it just seems like you say, Lord, take them out of the way. Lord, take them out of the way. It never gets taken away. But you say, mountain, get out of the way, and then you're through. What's the difference? You know, one is a prayer of authority. One is a prayer that he seemingly doesn't answer. You know, so we have to learn to pray these prayers of authority so God can administrate all things for the accomplishment of his purpose. So things that are bothering us, that are frustrating the accomplishment of God's purpose, we need to speak to them to get them out of the way. Okay? Realizing the Lord is behind us and he's backing up that prayer because we've joined with him
in his heavenly intercession. Okay, let's read the focus together. By learning to set our mind on the things which are above, we join ourselves to the Lord in his heavenly ministry and live the Christ who dwells within us and in our life.
Colossians 1, 3, and 4. And this is my favorite one-sentence footnote. You know, there's one-sentence footnotes in the Recovery Version. If you look at Colossians 3, 1, there's one there. Can someone find it and read it for us? Chapter 3, verse 1, yeah. I shared this with the brothers last night, so some of them know it already, sort of. Yeah, that one. Can you stand up and read that one?
Verses 1 through 4 imply that with Christ we have one position, one life, one living, one destiny, one Lord.
That's all in one sentence. Isn't that amazing? All those four verses in one sentence. With Christ we have one position, one life, one living, one destiny, and one glory. So this is a little song to that footnote. If I can sing it. With Christ we have one position. With Christ we have one life, one living. With Christ we have one destiny. With Christ we have one glory. With Christ we have one position. With Christ we have one life, one living. With Christ we have one destiny. With Christ we have one glory. With Christ we have one position. With Christ we have one life, one living. With Christ we have one destiny. With Christ we have one glory. With Christ we have one position. Christ we have one life, one living. With Christ we have one destiny. With Christ we have